Welcome to Courageous HR, sponsored by Cornerstone On Demand, here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Julie Brill, the Acting Deputy Associate Director for the Senior Executive Service and Performance Management. Julie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Let's get started. This is the idea of this show is all about innovation and human resources, and really the idea that really good things are happening in this world, if you will, of the federal government and HR. And a lot of times we look at things like security clearances or hiring, and people get a very, if you will, pessimistic view, but there's a lot of good things happening. So let's start at the very beginning. Employee engagement is something that has been a focus from OPM, from agencies over the last few years. What are some trends in the employee engagement area that you can point to that, you know, obviously are going in the right direction?
Employee engagement has risen over the past 6 years. In 2017, we did see the six-year high, according to the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. And one reason is because of the emphasis on the importance of improving employee engagement. And we've been highlighting those drivers behind employee engagement, such as performance feedback, leadership, training, work life, and well-being of employees. And agency leaders understand that connection between productivity, retention, job satisfaction, and employee engagement. So they've been working hard and are actively pursuing employee engagement goals. And members of leadership are responding by paying attention to the results and prioritizing those results in terms of making sure conversations are happening around the results and action plans are being developed in response to those results. OPM has also developed and provided agencies a number of tools, including the website unlocktalent.gov. And this provides agencies with their engagement results, which help them make data-driven decisions, improve employee engagement, and, of course, ultimately improve organizational performance. And the unlocktalent.gov site has a community of practice which has been very active. Agencies have provided various examples of things that they have done that have helped them make great strides in turning their EVS results into effective action and then ultimately increasing their employee engagement and organizational performance.
There's a couple things I want to touch upon that you went through. The first is this idea of what are the drivers, leadership, training, work-life balance, well-being, all connected to job satisfaction. That is not rocket science. That's not surprising. And I'm going to connect it back to unlocktalent.gov as well, is the having the data that shows that. Is that the difference here? That, okay, I can tell you that that's the driver, but now I can actually see it. That's what's driving this.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct, Jason, because I think organizations and have been emphasizing employee engagement, but then if you're a leader, if you're a manager, if you're a supervisor, like, okay, I want to improve my employee engagement, but what does that mean? So OPM started with making it clear, you know, here's the definition of employee engagement, and we did some research to develop that definition and have a report called Engaging the Federal Workforce, How to Do It and Prove It. And then from there, we did some analyses of the EVS results and indicated, okay, it's performance feedback, leadership, training, work life. It's not rocket science, just like you said, but it really helped those organizations that were developing action plans hone in on the areas that they could move that needle on, you know, focus on employee feedback and training and for their employees, career development and work-life programs.
One of the things that you bring up about the community of practice is now people can share what has worked and other people can, you know, borrow from their experiences. When you have looked at the community of practice, what are some of the things that stood out to you? And if you can be specific about the agency, that'd be great. And if not, if you can be more general, just about what were some of the best practices that seem to rise to the top.
We've highlighted a number of them in different forms, but some that come to mind are Department of Commerce. They laid out material for their managers with a big roadmap. Okay, this is now you have your results. Here's how to interpret it. Then you have conversations, develop your action plans, you monitor it. So it creates that roadmap that makes it very easy, very visual, so then the managers can then act upon the results. And in addition, HUD is another one that comes to mind. One, they have developed some videos highlighting other organizations and academicians talking about employee engagement, but they developed a tool which is essentially a scorecard that allows each office and work unit to easily see their strengths and their weaknesses in terms of the action plans that they've developed around employee engagement. So those are a couple that come to mind. We also have highlighted Social Security Administration and State Department on different webinars that we've recorded and put on that community of practice where they've talked about their journey. And the State Department, what they did was they really took that strategic approach. You know, we'd do a thorough analysis, get to the why behind their data, and then develop some action plans and just keep the course. Keep to the course, moving forward with that action plan, and then each year it would be, okay, how are we doing? Let's check in. But they then don't drop that last action plan and move on to another one. They kept with that original action plan, just using that data as an evaluation point to say, yes, we're doing the right thing, or no, we're not, and if we're not, how do we tweak it? And so they've highlighted their stories, and those are up there on the community practice as well.
Has OPM looked at some of these best practices and says, okay, how can we move this government-wide, or how can we combine, you know, what SSA is doing and what HUD is doing to provide a tool for the rest of government? Have you guys had those discussions yet?
The idea around best practices sharing is to then identify what might work for your organization. I mean, the survey feedback analysis cycle, that ongoing cycle of you do take the survey, you provide feedback, you develop that action planning, and you evaluate and monitor and then complete that cycle. That's basically the best practice. And how you do that will vary by, you know, your leaders, your resources, your problems, the issues behind it. If they're really complex, it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. But it, you know, highlighting the best practices allows agencies to see what resonates with them in terms of what applies to them, and then that commitment to action. And really, it's owning it, developing it themselves, and owning it that is the big part of what makes it most effective.
Now, we've talked a little bit about some of the best practices. Are there other innovations that have come up around employee engagement that you're seeing across government that maybe aren't quite considered best practices yet, but are something where you or someone at OPM has said, wow, that's different?
One thing that comes to mind is something we're excited about, and that is the Performance Management Plus. We held some thought leader forums with different thought leaders like David Rock, Marcus Buckingham, and learn from that, you know, if performance management and feedback is a driver to employee engagement, what does that look like? How can that be improved? And so the Performance Management Plus that our office is encouraging agencies to pursue is to get out of that structure that you live in of that mid-year and end of the year. You have your performance appraisal, you develop your plan, you have the mid-year check-in, and then the end of the year. And we want to encourage ongoing conversations with the supervisors and employees where it's immediate feedback and frequent check-ins to make sure, one, the employees are aligned with priorities of the organization, that the feedback is immediate, that if you did something in October, that the supervisor didn't write it down and then tell you about it in the mid-year in March. It makes so much more sense. It's something an employee will be able to act upon immediately if they get that immediate feedback. And then it's also understanding employees' strengths and leveraging those to complete the mission, as well as developing individuals through their weaknesses. So that's one thing we're excited about that is an innovation. A lot of organizations outside of the federal government have implemented this and seen great success.
And remind people, the Performance Management Plus is a training course that you guys launched just in October.
Absolutely, yes. So we introduced the concept earlier, and then we had developed the course that's available on HRU.gov, or agencies can upload it to their learning management systems. But yes, that really does help walk individuals through that and help people understand what is meant by that.
My guest is Julie Brill, the Acting Deputy Associate Director for the Senior Executive Service and Performance Management at the Office of Personnel Management. I'm Jason Miller. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Successful HR leaders are courageous change agents, inspiring crusaders, and innovation drivers. To meet today's challenges of finding and keeping talent, these leaders need modern technology to help them recruit, train, and develop their workforces. Cornerstone On Demand's cloud-based learning and human capital management software provides government agencies with the tools to easily manage their employee data and processes, allowing the HR heroes in your agency to focus on developing engaged and skilled workers. More at cornerstoneondemand.com/HR superhero.
Welcome back. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Julie Brill, the Acting Deputy Associate Director for the Senior Executive Service and Performance Management at the Office of Personnel Management.
Are there other things coming around performance management? Because as you said, that's a big piece of the employee engagement. It's a way to really change the discussion. Are there other kind of initiatives in the works?
That's the main one that we're working on this year, and also trying to highlight, you know, that performance management, you know, has multiple aspects to it, including individual contributions that are outlined, you know, at the beginning of the year in their plan. Individuals' plans are aligned with their organization's plan. It all trickles down. And then to encourage the appraisal and the rating of individuals' contributions and then rewarding those contributions. So those are the two main areas.
All right. Both are good ones. Obviously, the performance management piece is an important side, and understanding where the individual fits in that discussion is also a key piece. We talked a lot about the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey and employee engagement. But it's not all about FEVs. There's other ways that OPM and others are looking at satisfaction or looking at engagement. Are there other approaches that OPM and or agencies are taking to really measure how employees feel about where they work and what they do?
In terms of measuring it, the FEV seems to be the main way people are doing that now. However, OPM has been gathering information from agencies to gain an understanding of government-wide what are the various practices that are going on. And so we did a structured collection of information around the memo that outlines, you know, here are things agencies should be doing as they are trying to move the needle in employee engagement. And that's where we were able to identify, you know, HUD's scorecard. In addition, Department of Education, they established a workplace improvement team that helped leadership develop an action plan focused on skill assessment and employee development. So the good news, the positive news, is that agencies, a majority of the agencies, are actively working on action plans at both the department level and within lower level components. And really what we see is that the best change happens when the lowest level of the organization is action planning and having conversations around their data and their results.
Going back to the data piece that we've talked about a little bit earlier, the fact that OPM is giving agencies access to so much more data, so much more lower level of, hey, it's not just this the agency at the top level, but here's the bureau, and here's the office within the bureau, and here's the office within the office within the bureau. You can really get down to, you know, the 1,000-foot, the 100-foot level of why is a specific office or why is a specific part of the agency doing so well or feeling challenged. That's a tough road for OPM to, you know, collect that data, parse that data, deal with that data. Talk a little bit about that effort, how that has been going over the last few years, and what's the reaction been from the agencies? My impression is that they like all that data.
Absolutely. They do like the data. And the nice thing is that some agencies, like the National Institute of Health, are taking that data and then, you know, using some really innovative ways to display it, to slice and dice it. OPM has developed a data explorer tool so agencies can easily download their results. And if they want, they can also do the slicing and the dicing and analyzing it and making it useful for their managers and leaders as they are having conversations with their employees as well. And then the Unlock Talent, of course, has created a lot of ways to look at the data and connecting that to, you know, other kinds of data from the enterprise HR integration database, the EHRI. And so the data really is powerful. I mean, as we're moving towards emphasizing making data-driven decisions and make decisions based on evidence, this is really extremely valuable. And the team has worked hard to try and get the data to the agencies as fast as they can, knowing, of course, how much goes into cleaning the data and developing the reports. And it's just, it's a lot of information and really useful information.
Does OPM also take the, if you will, the 100,000-foot view and step back and look at the data across all the agencies, or looks at all the data across one specific agency as a way to help that agency improve their engagement scores or improve another part of the viewpoint survey in terms of an area that may be lacking or having a shortfall?
The data is used quite a bit within OPM for different initiatives, and particularly within employee services, a lot of the policy offices are looking at data, cuts of the data that apply to their program area. For instance, in our office, we take a look at the SES data. We slice out just how are the SES responding, what are they saying, and different policy offices will do that as well. So we definitely do that for all of the different initiatives, and I know agencies use it also to pull out pieces to track initiatives that they're working on. For instance, maximizing employee performance, they'll be pulling out key items on the survey that help them show progress in those areas as well. So it is very, very powerful to have this much data. It's just, it's for a data geek, this is it, a lot of data here.
Absolutely. And sometimes the data tells you something you don't want to know either, which takes us down the path of technology, the technology that helps analyze the data, the technology that helps process the data. That's much different today than it was, 3, 5, 7, 10 years ago. Talk a little bit about how technology is playing a bigger role in this engagement improvement effort.
The technology that we're using here at OPM, like I mentioned, there's a data explorer tool that helps get the data reports to the agencies. But the unlocktalent.gov really creates the digital dashboard that agencies can use in pursuit of their engagement goals. It's a tool both the general public can use as well as agencies to view comprehensive data visualizations with broad displays of their data, as well as then connects the HR data from OPM's EHRI database and allows agencies to dig deeper into their results, identify actions to improve engagement and overall satisfaction. And it also highlights those indicators that can contribute to a high-performing organization. So, and it's available, to all federal employees with a valid .gov, .mil email address, but also the public can view certain displays and layers of the data as well.
Actually, that was my next question, because I was going to say, I don't think I've had a chance to visit unlocktalent.gov recently. What can I see as a reporter / member of the public, and what can you see as, the federal employee?
The dashboard would allow me as an OPM employee to go in and view OPM results, and depending on my organization, see my organization compared to OPM, compared to the government-wide. And it drills it down for employee engagement as well as the global satisfaction. And then it gives different metrics about response rate and number of agencies. And then it also highlights key demographic data that agencies might be using to connect employee engagement to their HR data, such as age, race, gender, number of employees, retirement eligibility, and then it also does a ranking of the agencies in terms of their employee engagement index scores, the top 10 large agencies, top 10 small agencies, and it also will allow you to view more depending on where you click and how far you go, and it also gives you that global satisfaction information.
And from my perspective as a reporter / citizen, I could see just the top-level results, or can I dig deeper as well?
Right. It gives you the access to the top-level results.
All right.
And also by agency. I mean, a top-level agency results.
How do you guys decide which new tools to add? Where can technology play a bigger role going forward to both help engagement but also help understand the data, which then can lead down the path to better engagement?
I think technology is going to allow agencies to pull information from different systems and then make those connections, because you'd like to be able to connect them to your strategic goals and the metrics you're using to track that, as well as critical HR directly. You know, what are the levers? And do those kinds of big data, big analysis in terms of connecting all of those pieces. And I think that's what technology is going to provide us in the future. And it might also then even be able to create dashboards in terms of organizational performance at different levels and how they're contributing to goals, and then engagement being a piece of that.
Is there another role for technology beyond, let's say, the idea of a dashboards and to visualize data? Have you seen any examples, or have you, public sector, private sector, or wherever, where technology is actually helping employee engagement in a different way?
I haven't seen that in the engagement area. I think technology is being introduced in and will be able to support each of the areas that are drivers, such as performance feedback. I think that organizations and agencies, in a little bit, to a small extent, are using technology to support that. But I think there's a lot more growth opportunities in that area. Private sector is using technology for performance management beyond the taking the form and putting it into a system. They're able to pull together different information to support that as an area that then drives employee engagement. But otherwise, I haven't seen it in terms of supporting employee engagement, except that Marcus Buckingham does use, he talked about when he was at the Thought Leader, how he can push out surveys and information on a weekly basis. But that's probably something that OPM could do as well. Agencies can do that currently.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have access to SurveyMonkey, so at the very least, we could do it that way. My guest is Julie Brill, the Acting Deputy Associate Director for the Senior Executive Service and Performance Management at the Office of Personnel Management. I'm Jason Miller. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Successful HR leaders are courageous change agents, inspiring crusaders, and innovation drivers. To meet today's challenges of finding and keeping talent, these leaders need modern technology to help them recruit, train, and develop their workforces. Cornerstone On Demand's cloud-based learning and human capital management software provides government agencies with the tools to easily manage their employee data and processes, allowing the HR heroes in your agency to focus on developing engaged and skilled workers. More at cornerstoneondemand.com/HR superhero.
Welcome back. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Julie Brill, the Acting Deputy Associate Director for the Senior Executive Service and Performance Management at the Office of Personnel Management.
One of the other things that this idea of engagement is driving is really this idea of innovation, right? How do you ensure that you're changing the culture within your agency to both be innovative, but also to understand, to take smart risks, if you will, and drive this culture of innovation? Can you talk a little bit about that in terms of what you're seeing from agencies, and then how can OPM, what role does OPM play?
Well, the key to innovation is really that it starts at the top, and in improving employee engagement requires the commitment of senior leaders and managers. And so if you're going to be innovative, you have to have a senior leader that's going to support risks and support innovation and support, collaborating to examine challenges, barriers, and promising practices related to employee engagement across government. And it's not a one-size-fits-all, but it really does start at the top. And OPM encourages agencies to be creative and step outside of the processes and systems that we've always used, but might not have had optimal results in the past. So staff members can be invited to recommend new approaches, and leadership can weave those recommendations into the next steps. But leaders have to invite that and be open to that kind of conversation. So really, it does start at the top, and that is where we're going to really see the best improvements in innovation.
Do you get a sense that when you look at the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, that innovation is one of those areas where
agencies can improve upon. I mean, we all can be more innovative. I get that. But do you get a sense that that's a ripe area for the scores to go up?
I believe it depends on the agencies, because certainly some agencies, and even within an agency, you'll see pockets of that where employees do indicate they have the ability to be creative and innovative. And I think a lot of that is related to how much employees are involved in their decision making. So, you know, certainly there is a lot of really good creativity and innovation being seen in the results, but it varies across, and certainly, you know, everyone can improve that overall.
Julie, this has been a fascinating conversation. One of the things that I definitely want to hit upon before I let you go is this idea of ensuring lasting success. So 6 years is a great run. How do you make sure it's 7? How do you make sure it's 8? How do you make sure it's 10 years? How do we keep the engagement needle moving in the right direction?
Sure. Well, one thing I would say is that one way to keep that moving forward is to make sure that we're supporting our supervisors to ensure that they're building those skills, those soft skills, to be able to lead organizations, to be able to understand an individual employee's situation and apply work-life flexibilities appropriately, that they should be informed of and support employees' career development and have those ongoing conversations and provide that feedback. I mean, we will continue to encourage agencies to focus on engagement improvement goals, and we will provide support as agencies move forward. And OPM support will come in the form of continued guidance, opportunities for learning, sharing of the best practices that we collect and see, goal setting, and open communication with the agency leaders across the government.
You bring up supervisors and the soft skills, and sometimes that's the hardest part, right? I mean, a supervisor who works in, and you can, you know, pick the agency, the Commerce Department, they may be really good at whatever they do within Commerce, but to understanding how to talk to people, how to interact with people, listen is hard. Is that been the area that you think that supervisors have made the most progress? I mean, it's hard to say each agency is separate, but generally speaking, when you look at the viewpoint scores about the how people look at their supervisors, what's the area that you've seen the biggest uptick, or where do you believe it, just from talking to people?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at those agencies that are at the top of the engagement, employee engagement index, that have the highest scores, you see that they take leadership seriously and that they are choosing the right leaders, that they're developing them along the way. And so an effective supervisor impacts employee engagement. They have the good feedback conversations. They understand that individual strengths and issues and situations, and they support them. And that's a supervisor's role. And we certainly encourage agencies to use the right assessments to select the right supervisors and not just promote those individuals who perform well and are technically experts and reward them that way. They need to also focus on those leadership skills.
Plenty of work for you to do, but unfortunately we are out of time. So let me thank my guest. Julie Brill is the Acting Deputy Associate Director for the Senior Executive Service and Performance Management. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Jason.
Thank you for listening to Courageous HR, sponsored by Cornerstone On Demand, here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.